Good to see everyone. Good evening. I'd like to take a look from some scriptures out of the book of Ephesians. So if you want to kind of turn that direction, you can do so. Ephesians. But I want to kind of give us some background as to what Ephesus is, where the church is that Paul's writing to is in Ephesus. Ephesus was a capital city of a Roman province in Asia. It's very important to Rome. Had a lot of Roman influence. Ephesus was significant in trade because it had a harbor. It was on trade routes. It laid in a fertile valley as well, so it was good for agriculture. So a lot of people would occupy this area of Ephesus. It was known for its amphitheater. It had an amphitheater large enough to fit 50,000 people in. Okay, that's quite a monstrosity. You know, that is a huge thing, 50,000 people. And it's also known to have the great temple of Diana, which is what we have, one of which we have labeled one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Okay, so a lot going on in Ephesus. A lot of ways for people to live, make a living, and a lot of influence from paganism. And Paul helped establish this congregation, church, in Ephesus in the book of Acts. We read about him traveling there on his second missionary trip in Acts chapter 19, 18 and 19. So he has some close ties here. He stayed there approximately 2 years in Ephesus, helping the congregation there. Close ties. I know that if you stay anywhere for 2 years, people get to know you, especially if you're outspoken like Paul was. I'd like to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Really, chapter 4 through 6 is a bunch of, you need to do better at this, do this, do this, do this, okay? But I want to look at a popular section of verses that we like to use in several things as the whole armor of God, put on the whole armor of God. And I want you to remember that throughout the chapters leading to this, he has been telling them to do certain things. Okay, do certain things. And then he ends with this. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong. Okay, be strong. A lot of times in our own history, we've seen that Christians are considered weak. They roll over and allow people to just do what they want to do. But here, Paul says, be strong. Okay? And he says you need armor, the whole armor of God, that you can stand up and be strong against the devil. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So things that I can see right now in our very nation. Bad things, sinful things, allowing sinful things to happen, right? But we got to be strong, right? So let's keep going. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. This is verse 13. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Give it everything you got. Give it everything so you can be standing. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Here we start seeing what each thing is. And having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So far, we've only seen defensive things, right? Armor, shods on your feet, keep you from getting hit in the toes. They wore open-toed shoes back then. So, I don't know about you, but I may aim at someone's toes if I was in battle. They won't be walking. Okay. In fact, in Vietnam, I know that when our soldiers were over there, they were told to take care of their feet. It's hard to be a good soldier when you can't walk, right? I think they called it swamp foot or something to that effect, where the feet would actually start to rot in their boots because they were so wet. So I had to change their socks often. Okay, so feet are very important. It's impressive that in the Word of God He mentions to protect your feet. And we still uphold to that today is in a military standpoint. Above all, taking up the shield, defensive. I want you to notice that what's being thrown at us are darts or arrows. Something that travels a distance, right? It's not close battle. The devil's going to shoot things from far away. Okay? He's going to shoot things from far away. I kind of feel right now like the things that are going on in this world, the evil that's going on, are so far away. How do we get to it, right? It seems like times are changing, but it's not up close. It's happening far away with leaders that are far away from us. And then he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the devil's throwing darts, and we have a sword. Okay? The sword is a close-range weapon. You're not going to throw your sword at somebody. All right? Ineffective, not going to work. And you're not going to have a sword that's so big that you struggle to pick it up to fight somebody. Right? It is close range. You have long arms, you have an advantage in a sword fight. You don't necessarily have an advantage if you have a long sword, because it slows you down and it's hard to maneuver. So this is a close battle. And what do you know about close battles? Your opponent's right there too, right? And you're going to look him right in the eyes. You're going to see him struggling against you, and you have the sword, all right? You can't wield the sword, the Word of God, from a distance and try to throw it like the devil throws his darts. You got to get in their personal space. And it's going to be bloody. You're going to see their eyes, and you're going to, you know, metaphorically have the blood hit you as you are fighting, okay? We've seen movies. They've done really good at animating that stuff to let you know what battle looks like. It is ugly and nasty, and if you're fighting with a sword, you're in the middle of it. You're not sniping. You're not shooting from far away. And I'm reminded of a passage where Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Then he later says that you better hate your mother and father for my sake. You may have to take this sword, this one right here, and bloody up your own family. And you're going to see it in their eyes. And you're going to watch it, and it's going to be painful. But it will be worse to look in their eyes in the end, and you didn't do anything, right? Well, here's Paul. He's writing to these people. He's saying you have to have yourself armored, ready for battle, so that you can stand strong. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterances may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Ephesians had a lot going on around them, a lot of immorality. And I want you to look, I want to now go back to what Paul went through and why is he telling these people this. If you turn over to Acts chapter 19, you'll see. Acts chapter 19. This is why he's telling them this. In Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 21, we start a story about Paul and Silas. and they are teaching and destroying the faith of Diana, just destroying it. And we have these silversmiths, these men that are making a living off of statues of Diana. And in verse 25, this craftsman calls them together with the workers. they actually threw them in this amphitheater that we just talked about. They're in the amphitheater, okay? It says, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana, which we just said was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, right? Highly respected. This thing was huge. If you want to read some about that on the internet, go online and see how big this place was. It was humongous. The pillars were 60 feet tall. Okay, it's huge. It's quite an accomplishment, especially at that time. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, and having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him to go. They took his friends. You know, they thought, we may not be able to get Paul, we're going to get his friends. Okay? This is a big deal. He is attacking spiritually the whole city of Ephesus right now, and all that they believe, all their gods and goddesses and everything. And he's saying, that's why he writes back to them in the book of Ephesians, you got to stand strong. Okay? You got to stay strong and stand there and take it and fight. So on a Wednesday night, why are we talking about all this violence and fighting? Well, it's an encouragement to each one of us, because we're in the middle of this work week right now, and we're surrounded by news. We're surrounded by immorality, perhaps. We hear it when we're at our workplaces. And we have to be able to remember what Paul told the Ephesians, to stand strong. Make sure you're armoring yourself with the word, and make sure you have all the armor that he talks about. All right? That's what it's all about. And the only way you're going to do that is to get in this. So my encouragement tonight is that we get back into the word so that we can build the right armor, the armor that he describes here, and that we also equip ourselves for war. We equip ourselves for war, and we got to be right up in their face just as much as they're in ours. That's just the way it's going to be. Paul wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true, right? So if there's anyone here tonight that may need encouragement to help stand strong, perhaps to request prayers to be strong, to stand, or perhaps there's someone here that hasn't obeyed the gospel yet, someone that hasn't even began to put the armor on that we read about in Ephesians. Well, there's a way to do that. And it starts with hearing the gospel and believing it, confessing that your Lord, or that Jesus is the Lord God, Son of God, repenting of your sins, and then being washed, having your sins washed away in baptism. And it's not over there for the Christian. That's how you get added by God into his church. And then we have to stand strong. And that's what I'd like to encourage everyone here, is to continue to stand strong. We have a good crowd. I remember when I was in college, this was not what Wednesday night looked like here. This is great. And I'm very glad and honored to be amongst you at this point. But there may be some struggling with some weaknesses. And I want you to know we're here for you. If there's anything that we can do, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.